Well, good morning, everybody. He's worthy, amen.
Amen.
Well, as you see, preacher's not here. We've been talking. Everything's been good. But this morning, Miss Eliana, we want to vote her in. We want to support her. So if I can get a motion for that, I got Logan. I got Brother Randy. So welcome. We're excited to support her. We're excited to be side-by-side partners, amen. And so as she goes for a year, really pray for her because, you know, her family and friends and all that, I mean, that's hard. I know moving here to Dayton, you know, leaving family, leaving close friends, I mean, it was hard for me. But knowing, trusting in the Lord, God's always with us. Amen. And so we're excited. I'm pumped. And again, we won't be able to reach everybody without being people called to other countries and missionaries and such. So really pray for it. Don't say you're going to. Actually do it. And so this morning, if you have your Bibles, go to Psalms. Go to Psalms. I was sitting there telling Brother Logan back there in the back, we might be here for a little bit. I got 10 points. Not just a point one and then with, you know, A and then, you know, point two. No, I got 10 points, all right? And so we're going to be here for a little bit. I'm just kidding. I got 5 points. I'm excited. I'm pumped. This morning, you know, I had an energy drink for the first time in a little bit. And they all looked at me. So we had to, you know, get our listening ears on. And so I told them I'm going to have to treat them like my kids. So everybody got their listening ears on? All right, let's go. Let's go with it. So Psalms 84, we're going to read the whole chapter here. And so this morning, I want to do something simple but exciting. I know it's not Valentine's yet. It's coming up sooner than later. But the title that I want to put on this message is, I love my church. I really do. I love this church. It's literally, even though I'm not, you know, the pastor, but I would, you know, die on this mount. I love you guys. You guys are there for my family. Some of you guys. You know, I've been to your guys' house, almost everybody in here. And so I love my church. Amen. You know, this church is special. There's something special about this church as far as family. You know, you come in, we welcome anybody that comes in. We're excited. We hug on them. Even if you don't like hugs, I'm sorry, you get a hug anyway. You know, it just is what it is. But I love this church. And, you know, the cool thing is it's God's church. It's not my church. It's not Pastor Bryson's church. It's God's church. And, you know, when I'm around God's people, it just makes me feel good. You know, I just, you know, if I was Pentecostal, I could just, you know, start running, you know, because that's how excited I am when I, you know, I see people, God's people in this building. And so, again, this building isn't a church. It's you guys. And so this morning, if you could stand in honoring of God's word, we're going to read chapter 81 here in Psalms, and then we're going to get right to it and go through all these basic points of mine. Psalms 84, it says this, "How amiable are the tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thy altars, O Lord of hosts, my God, or my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them, and Zion appeareth before God. O Lord, prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in the courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Man, I could preach on that. But for the Lord God is his son, a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. For this wonderful morning, thank you for everybody that's here. Lord, I love everybody that's in this church. Lord, I love your church. Lord, I just ask that you just speak through me. Lord, that you'd hide behind me, behind your cross. Lord, that if there's somebody in here this morning that doesn't know you, that today would be the day. Lord, we love you. We praise your name. Pray. Amen. I want to look at one verse, something real simple. Verse number one. How amiable are the tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. I have always believed this, and I still do. A person's relationship with the local church is a reflection of their relationship with the one that died for the church. You know, there are a lot of Christians that profess to love Jesus, but they don't love the same things he loves. You know, God loves us. He literally came to earth, sent his son on earth to get filthy for us. He died on the cross for us. And we still don't love the same things as he loves. You know, we go through this thing called life here, and you know, I sit here and look from the outside in on some people that's lost, and I don't know how they can live in this crazy world lost. I sit here and I think, as you know, God's, you know, he wants them to come to know him. But you sit there and you think, is that there are a lot of Christians that profess to love Jesus, but they don't love the same things he loves. There's a lot of people that says I'm Christian, but they're really not Christian. Like I said in the beginning, I don't want to keep repeating myself, but you sit there and you think, as a lot of people say, I'm Christian, but are you really a Christian? We use this word Christian a lot as much as we use love. I love, and we just throw it around like it's just nothing. We kind of just misuse it. But in fact, they don't have any interest in it at all. You know, I want to go, I love church, but I more specifically love this church. And then this morning, you know, I want to speak on why I love this church. You know, there's a lot of things about the church, like I said a minute ago, that there's some special things about this church. The coolest thing about this church is our Grow ministry. One of our biggest ministries of assurance we have this church is Grow, and that we go and we tell others about Christ, and that's something special. Not a lot of churches go where there's 30, 40, 50, 60 of us that go and we tell people, we're knocking on doors and say, hey, you know Jesus loves you and he wants you to know that he sent his son to die on the cross so that you can one day get to heaven. There's not a lot of churches that go out and they do that. You know, I've been to a few churches in my lifetime. I'm not that old just yet. And, you know, there's only been one or two people, sometimes three people. You know, the cool thing to look and see is that, you know, for this awesome church to see the majority of the people to say, hey, I'm dedicated for the cause because God says, hey, go ye therefore. And so I'm going to take that commandment serious because we should. We shouldn't just flop it around and say, I got better things to do tonight. No, God says, hey, if you love me, this is what I love. I want you to go and tell people about me. You know, as we sit here and we think is, go ye therefore. I'm not preaching on that, but you sit there and you think is, again, I love this church. The word here, amiable, means beloved, well-beloved, loves. And again, I love this church because number one is the following of the Savior. You know, again, I know a lot of you guys personally. I've been to your guys' house. We some of us broke bread together, and I tell you what, I love breaking bread. Coming over for Thanksgiving at my house, we had ham, we had turkey, we had gravy, we had mashed potatoes. But you know the one thing that I realized we forgot, and it's kind of a sin? Boiled eggs. Deviled eggs, not boiled eggs, deviled eggs. We forgot that. Can you believe that? But you sit there and you think, is the following of our Savior. 1 Peter 2:21, it says, for even hereunto we're ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Ask yourself this morning, are you following his steps? We say that we are. We say, oh, I'm going to. Quit saying I'm going to and just do it. You know, it's just like the Nike sign that says, hey, I'm just going to do it. We went to a men's meeting, and one of the little kids says, do it. Do it. And it was a funny thing, but literally, do it. Sit there and think. God says, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And a lot of us as Christians, we say, oh, I'm going to. Oh, you know, at the beginning of the year, I'm going to start this Bible calendar, and I'm going to read through the whole Bible in a year. Why not just start now? Why do you have to wait a whole another 30 days and when you can just start now? You know, God says, you know, following of the Savior, you sit there and think, he says that we should follow his steps. But jump over to Hebrews 12:2-3. I didn't put verses on the screens this morning because As you can see, preacher's not here. I only know a little minimum of that. But God's word is important. Everybody should have a copy. So Hebrews 12, 2 and 3 says this. I'm going to look at two things here. Verse number 2, popping out right at the very beginning. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You sit there and you think that this holy man came down, he came from a virgin, and he had to get himself dirty for us to, so we can have eternal life in heaven. And you sit there and you see how important that is, because, you know, we can sit there and we go back and forth in this world. Oh, I'm going to live for the world. Oh, I'm going to live for Christ. Oh, I'm going to live for the world. I'm going to live for Christ. And you sit there and you think of these kids that go to school, and they're the same exact way that they see people and they're trying to witness to them, and they get saved, and then they go back to school, and then they're gone. But you look here at this church, is that the importance is this church follows Christ. This church wants to see people come to know Christ. The reason the loving of this church is this church is serious. Again, going back to grow, the biggest ministry of the church, as you sit there and you think, is Assurance Baptist Church is so serious about souls, is when we can see more and more people come to grow and sit there and hand out flyers. And the coolest thing is even my little daughter, 3 years old, is out there just, oh, you want to come to church? You want to come to church? The number one thing that's convicting to me is not necessarily just because, you know, I'm the greatest dad or my wife is the greatest mother, but because your guys' children and your guys' children, and they see you guys doing it, they get tracks and they say, Mommy, I want to invite this person to church. Daddy, I want to invite this person to church. And then we walk by a stranger and they say, well, why didn't you invite them? Man, that just like hit me straight in the heart. And it's not just because of me, but it's because they come here to a godly church. They come here to a live church. They come here to a church that's ready to serve Christ. They come here to see people that say, oh, the track. Oh, Daddy, can I get a track? Oh, Daddy, can I do this? Yes, take some, take some. And they're out there and they're just leaving them and leaving them and leaving them and leaving them. And they're doing so much better. Not necessarily my kids, but I see a bunch of other kids that's out there because they're so serious about Christ. And they say, hey, I want to sit there and I want to be a follower of our Savior. They're following his steps. And you sit there and you think of how important that is, because they see every single one of you guys. And they say, huh, if they're doing it. And God, and you know, we sit there and we read to them, and they get all excited. And man, my daughter, she's 3 going on 13. But it just makes me happy knowing that my kids, I never dreamed of having kids, and God blessed me with some wonderful kids, a wonderful wife. But I never dreamed of having kids to sit there and just, you know, make me feel convicted. Daddy, are you going to invite them? Yeah, I haven't got there yet, or I didn't, you know. But it's just exciting to see young ones out at Grow, young ones that are serious about Christ. But you sit there and you think, verse 3 there in Hebrews 12, 3, for consider him. You know, almost every week, this is what's cool, and some of you guys might not know it, but I get to see the background of it. Our track shelves are almost empty almost every week. Praise God. It's nice being able to see not necessarily just the pastors, not necessarily just the leaders, but the church saying, hey, I want to be serious. Oh, I want to get a little stack of tracks to hand out at work, to hand out at the gas station, to hand out at the restaurant, wherever it may be. But because you guys are considering him. But go back to verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. You know, the Christian life is an awesome life, but it's also a hard life. Because you sit there and you think, you're going through, people sit there and they call you names. Some people, oh, you're stupid. Oh, you look dumb. Why would you, you know, I don't care about this. It's because we're considering Jesus. We care so much because Jesus died for us. But then, number 2, I love this church because fervency of the saints being on fire for God. You know, you sit there and think, my very first devotion ever, can you even lift? And I went to that as, can you even witness? And so Hebrews 12:11, we're going to look at the spirit here, the fervent of the spirit. Romans 12:11, it says, not slothful in business. My favorite word, slothful. Don't be lazy. fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I'm glad I don't go to a dead church. You know, if you, there's plenty of other dead churches out there, unfortunately, and I'm not sitting there hating on them. It's just because they're just not excited. They're not allowing, you know, Christ to come in. They're just like, eh, it's the same old, same old. You know, it's amazing to see visitors come in, you know, monthly, and we get to see new faces come in. We get to, you know, go out and we say hello. We get to, you know, see new teens. We get to see new babies. We get to see new kids in the kids class. It's so exciting because when you go to a church and they just all sit there just, and they don't even talk to you. I'm sure Eliana went to several different churches, and hopefully she hasn't gone to a church like that, but I'm sure she might, you know, come across some churches like that. And even other missionaries, you know, even going when Preacher went on deputation before, you know, Assurance Church, Assurance Baptist Church got here, you know, there's some churches that was just, whoo, whoo, why am I even here? It's because God called you to, and then you can be a light in that church. We're going to look here in fervent charity. 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. You know, I love this church. And I don't know, I just want you guys to know, I'm going to say it over and over and over. Because I really do. This church has something special. And you sit there and you think, again, more and more kids get saved, not necessarily just because you guys, but they look up to you guys. I tell the teens nonstop, hey, don't do anything dumb because they're looking up to you. Some of those kids' classes that's, you know, third through fifth grade, some of the younger kids are looking up to them. But now, fervent prayers. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of righteous man availeth much. I love this church because I know there's some prayer warriors out there. You know, there's a lot of people we can pray. Praise God that we, you know, Assurance Baptist Church has a prayer list that I know that there's people out here that prays for these people. You know, I couldn't imagine going to a church that there's no prayer at all. You know, you sit there and you think about this is that we can't do anything, but God can. And you sit there and you go and you think about this, is that our prayers sometimes, or not sometimes, most Christians neglect prayer because they're too busy, or I don't have time, or, oh, I forgot about it. But in all reality, you know, prayer is so important because God says, hey, cast all your cares upon me because I careth for you. And you sit there and you think about that, is that, you know, if God cares for us so much, and again, that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, my filthy, raggedy self, and, you know, I don't deserve anything. But you sit there and you think that God says, I just want you to pray. Pray without ceasing. Right. And we completely neglect it. We just throw it out to the side and say, oh, I don't have time. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'd rather go and play video games. I got so much work that I got to do. Oh, I got to be with my husband, my wife. I got to be with my kids. But prayer is more important. If you're not putting God first, well, the rest of your life is just going to be in shambles. It's going to be like a ping pong, or not ping pong, but a pinball. And you're never going to be able to get to the top until you get God first. You sit there and we're going through it in our Sunday school lesson with good old David and Goliath. If good old David said, well, I can do Goliath myself. I don't need no help. Goliath would just squash him like a bug. Done. But the number one thing is that David says, I got God. And so you sit there and you think, without God, you're just nothing. The most famous thing, as I was doing my own study, I can't remember what chapter, what book, but literally just paraphrasing it, without God, we're just nothing. And so you sit there and you think, I go back and I just think, how can a lost world just live without him? Well, that's a pretty easy answer, because they're serving Satan. But number three, I love this church because fight against sin. Hebrews 12, verses 3 and 4. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You know, you sit there and you think, One, are you excited to be in church today? Are you excited to be around people of God today? Are you excited to knowing that you're around godly people that care for you because they pray for you? Even when you don't even realize it, you should be excited just to be able to come into this building because, again, godly people, you should be excited to be here this morning because, again, we want you to live like God. We want you to be, God created you in His image. We want you to be able to live as close to God as you can. We don't want you to sit there and just, we pray for you. So there's somebody in here that's possibly struggling with whatever type of sin that it may be, but just think, there's somebody in this room that's praying for you, and you don't even know it, and when that sin comes up, it just gets shoved away, and you just don't even think about it because someone's praying for you. And so you sit there and you think of how exciting and important that is because, again, God cares for you. First Corinthians 5, 7 and 8. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8, it says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for you," or for us. "Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Get rid of your old self. When you got saved, you became new. Quit trying to go back to your old self. There's a lot of things that, I had to get rid of, and I couldn't do it, but God did. There's a lot of things that how I used to live and the things I used to say, the people I used to hang out with, the things that I would do, which I don't even know how, again, I guess I do just because, again, it's Christ, but knowing the things that I did and that I should be in jail and did all kinds of dumb things, but again, I had to get rid of it. And it's just like the message I did a long time ago about, burn that bridge. Don't go back. Get rid of the old things that you're constantly doing, the things that are holding you between you and Christ, that thing that's in the middle that's saying, "God, you can have just the top part of me, but you can't have the bottom part of me." Because that's the stuff I love. That's the stuff that I care for. Those are the things that matter to me. And you sit there and you think again, is purge out the old leaven. Get rid of it. Quit holding on to just a little string. One thing that drives me nuts with my son, I always got to bring up my son, is that every time, brand new shirt, "Dad, get this tag. And then I'll get the tag, and then it comes to a little string. "Dad, there's like a little string right here. Can you cut it?" Are you kidding me? It's just like our life, though. There's that little string that we're holding on to, and we're saying, "I'm going to hold on to the string because, I care for it." But again, God says, "Hey, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you." Amen. And so when you say, "You know what? I'm going to either put a bigger hole in my clothes and rip the string out, or you get it, do it the right way and get a knife or a pair of scissors and cut it out." Pluck it out, get it out. Number four. We focus on souls. I love this church because we focus on souls. In John chapter 4, verses 34 and 35, John 4, verses 34 and 35, it says, "Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." The focus on winning the lost in our community equals out to all the outreaches and soul winning endeavors. How are you soul winning? Especially this is the most depressing for me anyway, because everybody's inside and everybody's grumpy and everybody's, "Leave me alone, it's cold outside." But how are you going out and witnessing? It's not like summertime where you can go to the park and everybody and their mother's out there at the splash pad. Are you going to Walmart? Are you going to a library? Are you going to Kroger? There's a lot of souls at Kroger. To me, almost more than Walmart. Kroger, whew. If you plan on going there, make sure you have about an hour. But how are you soul winning? But the focus on winning the lost in our country is every state project. Everywhere is different. It's not just our job to, you know, do it all. It's everybody's. If you says, I accepted Christ, I'm a personal Lord and Savior, I'm a Jesus follower, I do everything that Jesus tells me to do, then are you actually soul winning? Are you doing the things that God called you to do, or are you just saying so? Because again, you sit there and you think, there's plenty of lost souls here around Trotwood. There's plenty of lost souls in Inglewood. There's plenty of lost souls in Clayton. There's plenty of lost souls in Union. There's plenty of lost souls in Xenia. There's plenty of lost souls in Troy. There's plenty of lost souls in New Lebanon. There's plenty of lost souls in Drexel. There's plenty of lost souls in Dayton. And you sit there and you think, are you doing what God called you to do, or are you just letting it go? The focus of winning the lost in our world is Every Nation Project. And again, that's where we have wonderful missionaries. That's why we get behind them and we support them the most as we can. A little bit of money is fine, but, you know, prayer is the number one winning thing. You know, sit there and you just think about it. But number five is, I love this church because the furnishing of the scriptures. We stand on God's word. We don't go against it. We don't push it aside. We don't come up here like a bunch of preachers and we just say, well, today, guys, go to your Bibles, and we're just going to preach out of, my thoughts. No, it doesn't work like that. This church stands on God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I love these verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read verses 14 through 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make these wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, it's amazing. I love Awana, especially now that I have kids. Them coming home and they bring their Awana books home and they're so excited. Mommy, I got to memorize this. Mommy, I got to memorize this. And then, you know, they come and they didn't just get one verse. They didn't just get two verses. But there's times when they get three verses. I'm like, woo, get it, get it. And I want to sit there and start dancing at home. And, my wife does a whole lot with them as far as the whole Awana thing. And so you sit there and you think of, two kids, soon to be three in Awana. I guess a few years from now, but still, it's exciting. And you sit here and you think, from a child that has known the holy scriptures. If they grow up from a little age knowing, God's word and sitting there practicing and going through it and reading. I asked Maisley yesterday, I don't know, we went to Great Wolf Lodge for my dad's part of Thanksgiving. And I said, Sissy, you know that you're a sinner? Oh, yeah, Dad. I was like, You're a big sinner, aren't you? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, you are a big sinner. Oh, but here comes verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God's word is so important, amen. Amen. You sit there and you think, as we sit here and we say, oh, this is the holy book, this is the real book, this is the book where I get my answers. But then we go back to, here's a little bit of sting. Are you actually reading it? Are you studying it? Are you doing the things that, God says, hey, study to show thyself approved? Are you doing so? We sit here and we come to church and some of you guys' Bibles hasn't even been open since last Sunday, and today's the first day that's been open since last Sunday. And so you sit there and you think of how important it is to sit here and just, sit down a little bit and say, man, I'm going to study this one verse and I'm going to get down to it because, I know Assurance Baptist Church, they just don't leave their Bibles around. They read it and they study it and they get to it because that's why I love this church. And if you leave your Bible around and you don't actually read it, well, jump on the good train and start reading and studying God's Word so you can learn for yourself, because you're never going to get anything when someone comes and asks you a question, hey, how do I get saved? And you sit there and just look at them like you're dumb. It's because you're not reading. You're not listening during, preaching time. You're not doing anything else besides you're just sitting up here just, I checked it off for the week. But, I love Assurance Baptist Church because, they're Bible readers. And I hope I'm not wrong, but there's some houses I go to and their Bible's on the counter, their Bible's on next to their coffee table, their Bible's next to their little end table, and I believe that they're reading it. If we come up here and we put everybody's Bibles down, we had a thing at the men's meeting, who has the most raggedy Bible? And this one man, he had duct tape all over it, and I'm like, whew. I got a raggedy Bible at home, and I'm just too scared to bring it because pages are falling out, and it's my favorite Bible, and I want to get rebounded one day. But until then, I think it's just the name brand of the Bible. I'm not going to say the name brand because I'm kind of salty about them. But a real Bible reader, their Bible is going to be marked up. A little bit of, you know, tears in there because they're crying. A little bit of shaded, a little bit of writing, a little bit of notes. And I believe Assurance Baptist Church has that. You know, I love this church. I love this church because they love kids. I love this church because they like to see the kids grow. I love this church because, you know, knowing that this isn't a dead church. And it's not dead because God's alive. And you sit there and think about that for a second. And if you just can't get on to the knowing that, you know, Assurance Baptist Church is alive, then go to another dead church. Because Assurance Baptist Church, we're excited. We're ready to move. We're ready to do whatever we can for the cause of Christ. And so, if you're never going to grow, come to grow. Obviously, it's over right now, but find a place that you can witness to. Find a place that you can go and tell somebody about Christ. Find a place where you can go out and hand tracts and, you know, win them to the Lord. And when I say win them to the Lord, it doesn't necessarily, you know, win them to salvation, but win them enough where they say, man, that guy's friendly and that person, you know, loves the Lord, and so that they can at least ask themselves a question. You know, keep inviting people. You sit there and you think, I love this church again because prayer warrior. And you sit there and think, if you don't pray a whole lot, be a prayer warrior. Change it. Don't say, oh, I'm going to wait till the new year. You know, some of the guys will start laughing. You know, I've been saying I'm going to go on a diet for the past 3 months. And guess what? I said, I'm going to wait till the beginning of the year now. Thanksgiving, man, I don't know how many pies. I ate like a whole peanut butter pie almost to myself. Christmas is coming up. Who knows what's next? I mean, some of my shirts are getting a little tight, and I said, oh, baby, I got to lose a little bit of weight. But don't wait till the beginning of the year. Don't say, oh, new year, new me. No, it doesn't work like that. Amen. You wait that long, and then you're just going to be off the train. Yeah. Do it now. Get on the train of knowing that God's church is alive and that he wants you to hop on with it, yeah. Not just push it to the side. Yeah. If I can have the musician come up, heads bowed, eyes closed. As we talked, I love this church a lot, and I'm serious about that. But ask yourself this. Do you love this church? Would you do anything for this church? For the one in here that says, I never trusted Christ. I don't even know if I really, this is my first time, or maybe this is the first few times you've been here. And you never put your full faith in Christ. Well, that's what you're missing. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, God loves you. And he sent his Son to die on the cross and so that you could get to heaven one day. And if you never put your full faith in him, I ask you this morning, will you?